A lot of people ask us in our ministry, so how do you guys survive? I'll tell you what, when I left my job in Hollywood, I knew I would never see that money again. But I cannot tell you how rewarding this work is. To just go around and fellowship with my fellow brothers and sisters whom we may spend an eternity with. I mean, that is what drives us. And so we're going to have the deacons come forward. And we decided to do something this last year. We hope that people stop asking us to come and speak about this topic. I mean that with all my heart. If God said, okay, we don't need you to talk anymore, I'd be like, awesome, sweet, I can do something else. I really want you guys to know, I don't want to be up here talking about what Hollywood is doing. I would rather tell you about the love of Jesus. Hollywood is not the issue. It is a tiny issue. But what's crazy is we are so impacted by what we see, hear, watch, all those things. And I've seen around the world our brothers and sisters just caught up in this thing. So, as the deacons come forward, we're going to collect an offering. Because what we decided to do this last year is we said, you know what, God, there's many churches that want us to come and they can't afford us. There's many places. And we said, you know what? We don't care about the money. Lord, we just want to go. And so we said, you know what? We're going to leave it in your hands, God. No more charging for this or anything. And it costs money. The second thing that we wanted to do is it takes a long time to make documentaries. I don't know if any of you have seen some of ours. Some of our documentaries, it's taken us years to produce. But the problem is we produce the information well after it comes out and everybody goes and watches it. So that's what we started making these LED projects, which are on current films. They're 5 to 10 minute videos, free, before the movies come out, so you can make a better decision if you want to even put that information in your head in the first place. But it costs money, and it costs time. So I want you guys to prayerfully consider, there's little envelopes that will be passed around in there with a little card on here. This is not just a card to collect money, as well as if you want to communicate with us, if you have questions, if you want to ask us to come to your church or anything, fill it out, fill out your address, sign up for our newsletter. Support this work so that we can get our young people and everyone, for that matter, to stop messing around with this stuff of the world and get into their Bibles and let's all go home. Amen. So we'll pass that around. I don't know if we want to play some music. Go for it. I want to thank you guys so much because we feel like we have so much support in our church. And, you know, when we first started this ministry, we thought, what a weird ministry. Are you serious, God? You want us to go and talk about Hollywood in front of tons of people? Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And God has just shown us so much compassion that when we've traveled around, it's just amazing. I mean, it has strengthened my faith in God just traveling around and interacting with all these churches. And it's people like you guys that make that possible. So I want to thank you. And as we move forward, let's first open with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we reopen up this topic here tonight, we know that the world is starting to turn their eyes to some of these religious movies and these religious things that are coming out of Hollywood. Everyone knows the world is falling apart and they're looking for answers. So Lord, open our eyes, soften our hearts, teach us how to navigate through some of this material. And more importantly, Lord, give us that daily desire to get our information from your word. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you have seen any of our films, a lot of them go over so many secular movies. And just like Keith said, it is pretty exhausting. We could stand up here and show movie after movie after movie until you guys were probably sick to your stomachs, don't need to see this anymore. But what's amazing to me is this huge bloom of religious movies that are coming out. And I think there's a bunch of people that are really, truly, honestly excited about this. Hey, maybe this is time that we can share the gospel. I mean, if everybody watches movies, wouldn't that be a great way to share some truth about God? Now, also like Keith said, not everything you see on television is evil. We make videos for a living. I would not make them if I thought they were evil. The television in and of itself is not evil. The content that is on it is often evil. I'm standing here today before you because somebody shared with me a DVD. That's what really, truly woke me up and brought me back into the church. I know the power of a DVD. It can be a wonderful tool to win someone over to the gospel. So I don't want to discredit people making religious things. But time and time again, I will use this as my ruler. Amen. Always, always. If it does not speak according to this, amen, there is no light in it. Amen. That's the principle that I hope to teach you tonight. It's not a list. This is okay to watch and this is not okay to watch. You'll never hear that come out of any one of our mouths. Does it line up with my Bible? Does it line up with what God is trying to teach us? And that should be the rule of thumb, how you see these films. So I titled this Holy Hollywood, and of course I put a whole parentheses around the E like there's a hole in their message. It's not a complete holy message. It has the elements of Christianity. You see the struggle between God and Satan, but really, where is the focus of a lot of these films? Before I start that, I want to read Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Because this verse says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done wondrous things? In thy name have we not made all these great movies and things that shared the gospel? But was it doing the will of the Father? Was it in accordance to the will of the Father is where this is. In Matthew 7:23 it says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those are going to be harsh words. And they're going to be said to those who believed with all their heart they were doing the will of God. And it's very difficult to tell people, like people come up to us all the time and say, hey, I really want to make The Great Controversy into a movie. Great, cool. Well, you know what I first say? Before you say, I want to make The Great Controversy into a story, guess what you need to do? Do you want me to make The Great Controversy story? If you do that, and all of a sudden you say, hey, I need $5 million to make The Great Controversy story. Lord, if you want me to make this Great Controversy story, give me the $5 million. Guess what? If you get $5 million in the mail, you have every right to go to God in heaven and say, I gave you the decision. And you gave it to me. Trust me, if you put the answer into God's hands and he doesn't want you to make it, you won't make it. You will try and try and try and try and try, and it will be impossible if you say, God, if you don't want me to do this, I ask you to take it away from me. Do you see the principle here? So I always encourage people, hey, if you want to do something like that for God, great. Who am I to tell you you should or should not? Don't ask me. Don't ask the opinion of anyone in here. The opinion of God and God alone. Is it in the will of the Father? So I want to ask you this. How many of you recognize his face? How many of you think he's a Christian? Raise your hand. No one. All right. The question was asked to him, where do you get your inspiration for your music? Here's what he says.
God media, what is your expression in your love?
He keeps God in everything that he does. Have you ever seen his music? I hope not. How about this lady? Is she a Christian? The question was asked to her.
What's your relationship to God? I'm sorry? What's your relationship to God? With God? God is my everything. He created everybody, everything, and I love him, and he is the reason why I sing.
Now, who created everything? That's Jesus. My Bible only tells me of one thing that created everything. You got to understand, these people actually think they're following God. This goes on and on. What about Steven Seagal?
Where did you get your inspiration from for your crazy work?
Probably God, I guess.
God? While he's breaking your legs and chopping your arms off? What? Many celebrities. Bruce Willis. Many celebrities attribute their success and their followings to the success that God has given them. It is quite shocking. What about this lady? Lady Gaga. Oh, come on. You don't think she's a Christian? Listen to what she says when the question is asked to her in the car. How are you so famous? I want to know, seriously, how did you become the top of fame in the world? And listen to what she says. Did you know that before every single concert, Lady Gaga prays with her entire cast? I'm going to stop this because I believe in the power of prayer. I'm not even going to show you because I know she's not praying to my God. I believe that this is a very twisted view. Remember, not everybody that says, I am a Christian. It can't be me that made me famous. It's Jesus. Now, here's where you know where they are. What do we call it? Know them by their fruits, right? So all of a sudden, I hear this person say, guess what? I'm a Christian. And she has all these prayers. Okay? Know them by their fruits. Here's what she says at every single concert. Notice she was praying right there backstage. She was praying at Madison Square Garden in New York. She's crying backstage going, I'm such a loser. I can't go on stage. Oh, everybody thinks I'm this amazing person and I'm not. And then she goes, let's pray. Let's pray to God. Pray to God that I get strength. Then she goes out on stage and she says this every single time she gets out on stage. And here's what she says. There's one thing she hates more than anything in the world. And of course, we'll stop it right there. She hates more than money is the truth. But what does my Bible say? Who is the very definition of truth? Where do we even get that from? John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for me. The very definition is Jesus. So who is she ultimately hating? You know, I went to one of our Adventist academies. I'm not going to tell you which one. I gave a presentation, and I didn't speak on Lady Gaga. I spoke on just movies, because we typically don't speak about music. And I went back to the dorm rooms, because I like to fellowship with some of the students. It's what helps seal this into their minds, that I'm not some crazy fanatic. And so as I'm sitting there hanging out with them, guess what I hear in the hallways? Lady Gaga bumping in the hallways. My heart just breaks. My heart breaks. And so I had a conversation with these students and they said, no, she's a Christian. This is just all an act for her. That's our brothers and sisters. Not everything you see that says Christian is Christian. Just because it talks about Jesus has no meaning in that. I want to show you a couple news clips of some of these popular Christian movies that are coming out. You know, Brad Pitt was slated to play Pilate. This is a couple of different movies, and they're going to talk about this.
So there's a rumor floating around that Brad Pitt may be preparing for his most ambitious role today. Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect who oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Deadline.com reports that the proposed mid-budget flick would be a Warner Brothers production, and even though Pitt has yet to sign on, it sounds like he could very soon. Brad would play the ferocious soldier who, according to biblical history, finds himself in way over his head when asked to decide the fate of Jesus. According to reports, New Testament figures like John the Baptist and Mary Magdalene feature in the period tale, which reportedly reads like a biblical era Twilight Zone. Of course, biblical tales are the flavor of the month in Hollywood, with a few stories slated for the silver screen. Darren Aronofsky and Russell Crowe are teaming up for the story of Noah. Will Smith is reported to be in talks with a version of Cain and Abel. And Steven Spielberg has a rumored Moses story in the works. Yep, Brad Pitt is in good company once again.
So all of a sudden, did you hear what they said? He's going to play Pontius Pilate, which the script reads like a biblical Twilight Zone. What? Did you hear that whole thing that Will Smith is going to play Cain and Abel? Okay, here, look at this. This is how twisted this is. It's called The Redemption of Cain. And guess what? It's a vampire twist. I mean, come on, people. Really? What is the devil doing? Why is he picking these stories and just twisting them a little bit? Bruce Almighty, of course, we even make comedies about these things with God. And you know what's interesting about that movie is the guy who plays God doesn't even believe in God. So they picked an actor who's totally atheist to play God, knowing he doesn't even believe in God, and he's very outspoken about it. I mean, they're just twisting these whole things. Remember what Keith showed you with this resurrection? I want to show you something. Notice how there's words. This will make you question everything you believe. Do you know what's amazing about Hollywood? They will put out in front of you exactly what they're doing. They flash it to you. Did you see how quick that flashed to you? Seconds. But it went in there. How many of you want to question everything you believe? No, right? Okay, so then, look at this is another TV show, okay? So then they tell you in the TV show what this is about. This is between two worlds, and they flash all this kind of stuff for you, and you get all caught up in all the visuals and everything, the battle for mankind. They're telling you this story is literally about the great controversy, right? Now, I want to show you. This is the end of the little promo that they have for the TV show. This is a terrible, terrible TV show called Hollow Man, okay? This is the Horseless Headman. Or Sleepy Hollow, sorry. Sleepy Hollow, okay? I took a screen capture of the town Sleepy Hollow. And here's what it has on the town. Population 144,000. Now, wait a minute. How could you possibly put a number of 144,000 on the screen and not know anything about that number? You don't randomly guess. There's 144,000 people in this town. I don't even need to watch the show. You can watch 30 seconds of their promo and go, don't need it, Let me teach you a trick. Anytime there are words written on the screen, somebody put it there on purpose. No words fell off of somebody's computer in the right spot, and then all of a sudden just somebody had to make a decision. If you see a sign like this, there is a director, a producer, somebody made a decision to put that in there. So, when you get caught up in movies and television, how many of you sit there and pause it and read the stuff? You'd be amazed what you find in the background. And I'm not telling you this to promote go home and watch all these movies and try to find the stuff in it. I really mean that. I hope that you do what I did. When I started doing this, people would always go, how did you see what you see? I mean, how do you catch something like this, right? I'll tell you, you don't catch it by watching the movie. You catch it by reading this. The more that you read this, the Bible, the more that you go, that's an error. You can't get a counterfeit by studying the counterfeit. You only spot the counterfeit by studying the true, genuine. That's the only way that we're able to spot some of these things. So Exodus, gods and kings, right? I mean, the Bible, come on, all these plagues and the walls of the water going up, right? I mean, let's just be honest here. How many people wanted to see these plagues and things like this? Raise your hand. Anyone? Anyone? Remember, you're in the house of God. You got to tell the truth. Right? This, I mean, I want to see these things. I'm looking forward to when we get to heaven. I go, I want to see this visual replay of what happened here on this earth. Seriously. And here, this is like something that man is making to show you some of these amazing things. But here's where it errs from the Bible. Here is the actors and talking about their roles.
Ultimately, what we do, we're reaching out to people. If none of it matters, unless you're actually reaching out and managing to get into people's hearts and minds and make them feel something.
So nothing matters in this acting world, unless they get into your hearts and your minds and make you feel something. That's dangerous. That's dangerous to me. Because I know that there are two things that are happening. There is a faith and there is an emotion. And if you train yourself off of the emotion and not the faith, we know we're coming up to this crazy time of trouble. So anytime I hear, wow, they're just trying to emotionally pump you with this and that, ding, 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 my little antennae go up. Ridley Scott looked to science, not miracles, to part the Red Sea. I didn't even need to watch this movie. All I had to do was read one article. Didn't look to miracles, but look to science to explain it. Here's what Scott's solution was. They came from a deep dive into history of Egypt, and after reading about a massive underwater earthquake off the coast of Italy, it caused a tsunami. So the water did not part because of something miraculous that God did. It parted because an earthquake was underneath there, which spread the water apart. Now, guess what that does to my God? All it does is put a little taint on people's views. Oh, maybe God couldn't do a miracle like that? What else can't he do? Subtle. Remember, the most subtly created creature. All it has to be is 99% truth, 1% error. Is it worth anything? No. So, all of the plagues, he looked to science to do. Now, Christian Bale, the main actor, said that Moses is likely schizophrenic and barbaric. He was a very troubled and tumultuous man, and he was very mercurial, okay? So he says that God was equally as mercurial. Mercurial, a subject to sudden and unpredictable changes of mood or mind and his mercurial temperament. Now, what does your Bible say about God? He changes not. So here's an actor that does an incredible amount of research to play this role. Reads. I mean, when you look at what he did to get into this role of Moses, he read the Bible. He didn't understand the Bible. He didn't get it because spiritual things are what? Spiritually discerned. It's not a book. You can take this thing and give it to Stephen Hawking or some smart person in the world and this is gibberish to them. You can hand this to a third grade child and they can understand these deep spiritual truths of God. So it doesn't surprise me that Christian Bale would say this about Moses. And of course, we talked about the Lego movie. So I'm not going to, I don't know why this was in there. This must have been left in there from a different presentation. Sorry about that. Noah. So, Noah was another movie, and I'm sure now this may be old news to a lot of you guys. Because when this first came out, a lot of people rang the bell on this one and said, no, this is really erroneous. But I've asked the question, how many people have seen this movie out of sheer curiosity? Many people have gone and seen this movie, just out of curiosity. You may know the truth. You may sit there and watch this movie and say, no, 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 this is totally false and this is erroneous, right? But I want to show you, there is a deeper, more cynical thing that was placed in this movie that is well beyond error. And here's what it is. At the very top, this is their actual website. It says that the film is inspired by the story of Noah. While artistic license has been taken, we believe that the film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions. So the website at the top says, listen, we made a little bit of artistic license, but we stuck to the basic main thrust of the story. Okay? I've not seen this movie. But here is the creation clip that begins in the very beginning. Wait. Maybe I didn't play it. All right. Before I get to that, this is Darren Aronofsky. He's the one who was the director of that film. He also made a film called Pi. And he was at... it was one of his first films that he made. And he put a lot of things called the Kabbalah in Pi. Do you know what that is? The Kabbalah?
Yes.
Many of you have kind of like heard of this. Okay. So in his first film, he entered in the Kabbalah story. Now, Noah was based off of a novel, a French novel. It has nothing to do with the Bible Noah, even though it has the same name and it's about a guy with a boat. It has nothing to do with Noah in the Bible. And here's where Noah gets his lumber to build the ark from this magician who gives him some magic beans, and that's what grows the trees and all this kind of stuff, right? This is in the novel. Notice what's in the background right here. That's the tree of the Kabbalah, right? So all of a sudden, this is what the tree of Kabbalah looks like. If you've ever followed like what Madonna and all those like musicians are into, this is Jewish black magic. This is as satanic of magic you can possibly get into. And this stems all the way back to like Solomon's day. I mean, this stuff is really, really dark. And without going into great detail, these are like all the different demons that guard the different gates to the different existences. Terrible stuff, okay? So, Darren Aronofsky, the writer of Pi, says this. When he was in New York, or when he was in the Western Wall of Jerusalem, he ran into these religious people who wanted to introduce to him mysticism. And they wanted to show the beauty and magic of religion, and they brought him back into the fold of Satan. For me, it didn't quite work because the devil had a lot of nice toys. I did come away with some nice stories and some good ideas, and that was the seed for a lot of the Kabbalah in the film. So if he's putting Kabbalah in his first film, is he putting Kabbalah in his other films, right? Is the question. Well, these golems, which are the demons, help build the ark. That's not in the Bible. That's terrible, satanic stuff. And so when Shem is walking through this field, he goes, is that a Zohar mind looking at the film? Well, what is Zohar? Maybe many of you have never studied the Kabbalah. That comes from the Zohar right here, which is a Kabbalah manuscript. So even the words that the actors are speaking to each other have Kabbalah meanings in them. They have this snake that goes up and blesses Noah. And, I mean, it's just like twisted stuff. This is not even close to the Bible. So those well-meaning Christians that go there to see, I want to see this great boat that floated on the water and everything, don't realize you just sat in a dark room, opened your mind as wide as you could open it to introduce Kabbalah thinking into your brain. And you know what's interesting? Our other documentary called Pseudology talks about the science of what goes on inside your brain. You know, when you walk into a theater and you stare at a blinking light, in less than 30 seconds, your brain stops working off of the frontal lobe and starts to react off of your limbic system. Guess what? Where do you speak to God? In your frontal lobe. So when you go into the theater, you literally turn off your ability to talk to God, and you open up your emotional mind to accept whatever they want to tell you. It's fascinating. And the devil is so good at it. So why are they continuing to make all these stories if Darren Aronofsky even admits, hey, listen, I'm godless. I have my God, and my God is narrative filmmaking. Could care less about God. Be careful what you allow in your mind. Here, even the lead actor here is going to talk about his character of Noah. What does my Bible say about the character of Noah? Here's the actor who has spent months, years possibly, training, studying, learning, trying to put on this character. When my Bible tells me Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous, blameless man among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. It's impossible to be faithfully walking with God and not be nice. That's impossible. If you just listen and you know what your Bible says, you can spot these out and go, why would I want to sit in a dark room and watch his thoughts? Yeah. So let's talk about some of these Bible movies that are coming out. Like the Bible series that was out on History Channel from Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. And this is the Bible series. And the lead actress, Roma Downey, was also on a television show called Touched by an Angel. Now, do you notice this lady right here with her actress co-star on Touched by an Angel? I wanted to look up. Now, this woman here, Roma Downey, and her husband, Mark Burnett, are very outspoken Christians. I mean, they go on interviews after interviews, and I mean, they are really, really pushing Christianity out to the mainstream through these series. But she became really good friends with this lady from the television series. She went to premieres with her, became really close friends. So I wanted to know, who is this lady that she's become friends with? Now, this lady is a priestess in a New Age church. And so I said, now this is really interesting to me that Roma Downey, who makes the Bible story, one of her really close friends is a De La Rose, a minister in a New Age church. And I said, what is she doing hanging out with New Age people? Now, Roma Downey says she gets in her car and she listens on the radio books and tapes from Eckhart Tolle. Do you know who this man is?
Yes.
Eckhart Tolle, okay? Tony Robbins. Eckhart Tolle is that guy that's always with Oprah. And he's the one that's the New Age guru guy about breathing and all sorts of, I mean, it's just straight up New Age stuff, right? So she's listening to books and tapes. And if you know anything about this man right here, I mean, he is just nothing to do with a biblical Christianity. Okay? So that fascinates me. Now, Roma Downey got a master's degree from a school in Santa Monica in spiritual psychology. So now she has a master's in spiritual psychology, and spiritual psychology is the study and practice and art of and science of human evolution in consciousness. Does that sound like New Age to you? And if I read you the list of things that they studied in there, Kundalini, I mean, you name it. I mean, all these just Eastern religions and terrible, terrible things. What is this woman doing making a Bible series on TV? It goes on. Roma Downey went on a television show called Crossing Over. How many of you know what the TV show called Crossing Over? That guy that speaks to the dead? Maybe you've seen it. Okay, so just to show you this, this is TV Guide, and just to show you that on 2002, she went on the show with John Edward called Crossing Over, okay? While she went on the show with him, he starts speaking to the celebrity's dead mother and says that the spirit of her mother was commending and applauding her for what she's doing. Ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh. What is she doing communicating with the spirits? Roma Downey said, my mother was telling me that she was very proud of me and my work, and it just made me want to weep. If someone is doing something in accordance to the Bible, do you think a spirit would ever encourage that? Never. Never. So this is just a little snip of what is behind the scenes of the people that are producing this. Ecclesiastes 9 said, we read this earlier, for the living know nothing. Now, John Edward was so impacted by his interaction with Roma Downey, he ended up writing a book called Practical Praying, in which he had a whole CD with Roma Downey on the CD. So here he's even working with this woman and intertwining his work with her. The History Channel calls the Bible series, on the History Channel's Bible series, it was an underwhelming miniseries, not worth the viewer's time. In fact, many Los Angeles Times people dismissed it. They said it was flat and tedious. Entertainment Weekly called it a cheese fest. Philadelphia Inquirer, it labeled it a cardboard characters surrounded by CGI. Now, here's what's really interesting to me. Look at this. The premiere pulled 13.1 million viewers in the initial night and retained over 10 million each night. That's 4 in every 10 Americans watched one episode. That's a high number. How many of us, don't raise your hands, have watched one of these episodes out of sheer curiosity? I mean, I want the Bible to be spread to the world. But man, you better be consecrated to God if you're going to put that out on national television. Because there's so many forces that don't want that kind of information out. So let's look at some of these things. I mean, the story is just full of tiny little errors. When Jesus is calling Peter, the scene shows him in the boat with Peter, and they have this interaction together, and there is no Andrew around. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. Because the Bible tells me in Matthew 4:18 that Jesus, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he wasn't in the boat with him. He was just sitting there calling Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, cast the net into the sea, he saw them casting their net into the sea. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. These are tiny little script changes that are happening. In the Bible series, when they went through Sodom and Gomorrah, did you know that they had the angels totally looking like ninjas? And then they fought their way out with swords and were like, flah, flah, out of like Sodom and Gomorrah? What? That's not in the Bible. You know what happens when little tiny things like that are changed? I mean, doesn't our Bible, in the end of the Bible, say if anyone changes these words, there is a curse pronounced upon you? So what is the difference with, in an ancient world, writing it down, in a modern world, putting it on a screen? Because if you're changing things, Lord, have mercy. Now, when Jesus is ascending into heaven, he tells the disciples, go out and preach to the world. They go out immediately. And of course, for the sake of time or something, they just cut it out. The apostles went out and started preaching. But there was this Pentecost. And I mean, you can't just take parts and bits like that and mash them all together and change the sequential order of this thing. Because what you do is you confuse people of, wait, I remember seeing that in a movie, but I don't know, it says it a little bit different in here. Now, many people endorsed this television series as a good thing. And there was a blog writer named Sonny Shell, who's a very conservative Christian blog writer, and they wanted her endorsement. So they sent her the whole series, and they said, can you please blog about this? You have a wide audience, please blog about it. She said, okay, I'll take a look at it. So she took a look at it, and after prayerfully reviewing the material and consulting it with her wise husband, she stated that she was unable to participate in proclaiming or promoting this endeavor due to the highly unbiblical content, as well as their portrayal of the championing the virginity the virility of man while, can't quite read that. There we go. Pallying the glory righteousness and holiness of God. Okay? So this is what she says. The Bible is about God's righteousness, man's depravity, and human's desperate need for a Savior. Isn't that the gospel? She says what the story left her as after watching it was that as an angry God, he punishes the bad people and curses the good people who disobey. As the really, he wants to be a really cool deity who still blesses all the good people, but no matter what they really do, and whose ultimate desire is to change the world and make people nicer and happier through social reform. That's what she walked away from it from. So, not everything you see as Christian is Christian. I want to play this clip for you. This is the scene of the woman being caught in adultery. And this is, I'm going to leave you on this scene right here as we close. But I want you to look at this scene. And I want you to look at the events that are portrayed. And I want you to say, is this close, even close to what my Bible portrays this scene as? Did Jesus pick up a stone as if he was going to condemn her? And hold it up and be like, okay, maybe I changed my mind. Where's the writing? And I mean, that's plainly in there. Where's the saying of the? He's sitting there telling him also, who has never sinned, you can cast the first stone. Notice these little subtle changes. It's not those of you who are without sin at this moment, because there's no one that has never sinned except for Jesus. I mean, those are just little subtle changes in that context. Brothers and sisters, this goes on and on and on. And as I bring this to a close, I want to tell you this. Why? Why are they doing this? Why? Why can't God have a soldier come out and make a proper biblical film? They can make Gladiator a movie with every button. I'm sure if you went back in time and you looked at what the Romans look like and then you watch Gladiator, you'd probably go, wow, it looks just like that. So you're telling me that Hollywood can make a movie that is exactly like that part of history, exactly to the T of every piece of dressing, every button and everything, but yet when it comes to the scripture, they can't make it correct? No, people. What is the devil's last masquerade? What does the spirit of prophecy tell us? The crowning act of the great drama of deception is Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent for the consummation of her hopes. Now that the great deceiver will make it appear as Christ has come in different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. Guess what, brothers and sisters? This tells me that Satan will come on our earth and be in his physical form. You will physically see him with your eyes as a coming Christ. So guess what? Do you know, by putting out all of these things that are tinkering with the model of Christ, what is Noah? Noah is a type of Christ. What is Moses? A type of Christ. Jesus, a type of Christ. Wait, in the secular world, Neo from the Matrix, he's like Christ. No, wait, Superman, he's like Christ. Guess what the world is doing? They're confusing you of who Christ is. And if you're filling your mind with this stuff and not filling your mind with who Christ is and you don't have a relationship with him, when the devil steps his foot on this planet, I guarantee you many of our brothers and sisters will be lost. Brothers and sisters, turn your eyes away from things that are contrary to your Bible. This is our rule of thumb. And more importantly than just the knowledge, a relationship. A marriage. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. When you fall in love with him and then you see things that are contrary to that, you know what? I loved Hollywood so much. My brother has an interview with me in Los Angeles when I was out there. I was 20-some years old. And I was sitting there, you know, yeah, I'm going to be here till the day I die. I'm going to make money, money, money. I'm going to have cars. I'm going to have this lifestyle. It's really cool. I'm going to be here till the day I die. That's what my mentality was when I lived in Hollywood. I loved that place. I loved that industry. I loved movies. I wanted to do it my whole life. And I said, God, If you don't want me here, you have to change my taste. Because if it's up to me, I'll be here. I love this place. And I gave the decision to God. And do you know what? It's so disgusting in my mouth. I can't watch this stuff. I don't want to watch it. I'd rather spend 2 hours in the Word of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope that is something that you all can have in your life. A fire and a passion for the truth. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we filter through the deceptions of this world, may we learn how to seek truth from the way that you have delivered it to us, from your word. Lord, help us to trust your word. Take you at your word. Help us to see those things around us that are just slightly changing our views of you. Lord, as many of us don't know where to go from here, maybe are possibly caught up in this, Lord, you see the hearts of everyone in this room. You know the intimate details of what everybody does when they go home at night and on Saturday night. So, Lord, I pray that if your will be done in their lives, may you change their hearts as you have changed mine. And those that are wanting to have a closer relationship with you, Lord, I just pray that somehow, through the course of this weekend and the words that were said, may you sink that conviction deep into their hearts. And may we all get out there and win as many souls for you as we possibly can. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.